We've heard from Singapore's Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan, who says that ASEAN can help facilitate a return to normalcy and stability. Do you share that belief?
Yeah, of course. You know, so as you know, it's in ASEAN. You know, we are the family members. So when we have any one member state have that difficulty, so definitely the all other member state, other family members, want to help to solve the problem, especially in a peaceful and in an amicable manner. That is, you know, no doubt that all the member states have this kind of attitude towards a member state of the ASEAN. So I agree with him, the Singaporean foreign minister. But at the same time, there are the limitations, of course, the way the ASEAN work. So it's a bit different from one to another, because in ASEAN, whatever we do with the consensus. So that sometimes that consensus make things slightly difficult, make things get some constraint. So we do understand, but at the same time, again, you know, like what I mentioned earlier, time is really essence for people, Myanmar especially, civilian, innocent civilian. So we need to protect them. We need to get the constructive action that protect the people of Myanmar. So that is what we are longing for. That is what we are expecting for from the international community, including our ASEAN family members.
Is ASEAN and other members of the international community moving fast enough to stem the bloodshed first of all and then move towards a diplomatic resolution to this crisis?
The international community, if move forward, I don't think we would lost this this number of people. You know, like look at it, 60, 80 people already dying. So it is a huge bit number for us, especially again, this is those who die are the young people, that even though some are teenagers. So it's a quite heartbroken. For us, it's really, you know, touching for all of us. So that is why we need quick and strong measures from the international community. Whatever that the way that they can, you know, some maybe support indirectly, some maybe be supporting directly to the people of Myanmar. So that sort of thing that we really need from the international community, member states. That supporting to the people of Myanmar from the member state may differ from one to another. But the things that I like to, to request that all the member states is whatever way that they can, whatever strongest possible action that they can take, please do so. That is my request. That is my appeal to the international community.
And do you support ASEAN members engaging directly with the military to try and facilitate dialogue?
So the thing is that one engaging, because you may recall that this, in the my statement, I repeat that do not recognize the military regimes. So and then whatever things that we like to have the dialogue, the first thing, the release of our leader, the Aung San Suu Kyi, and the President U Win Myin, and all the leaders and all the unlawful detainees must do first. The release of them is really important for all of us. Otherwise, we will not get the meaningful dialogue. That is my personal point of view.
And the US has recently announced fresh sanctions on Myanmar's military leaders. How effective will they be, do you think?
Yeah, so the targeted sanctions are effective, but at the same time, how affected and how strong, how quick, that is also, the question mark. Because we always stress that whenever we have the sanctions on targeted sanction or sanction, we don't want any spillover effect on the people of Myanmar. So that is what I like to request. So make it very minimum spillover effect on the people of Myanmar. So the targeted sanctions somehow, is to be have the impact on the military regime. Look at, you know, their parents, or for example, the Minhaolan children in the list of targeted sanctions. The mother spoke out that, you know, they are the children. They not, you know, they shouldn't be in the list. That sort of thing, that it show that it has the impact on the military regime. So we welcome the targeted extension, but at the same time, we like to make the, you know, remind that, you know, please make the minimum spillover effect on the people of Myanmar. That is the point. It's very important for the country.
And in your view, is the Biden administration doing enough to help civilians in Myanmar, both when it comes to targeted sanctions as well as the possibility of the US using its substantial clout on the international stage to try and pressure actors around the world to do what they can to try and squeeze the military in the country?
Yeah, I repeat again, you know, the strongest possible action. So we still need stronger action from all member states, especially, you know, those countries can influence and the countries in the region, also the military regime. So we still need the stronger action from the United States.
And, Mr. Ambassador, just to get a sense of the dynamics at play behind the scenes in Myanmar before the events at the start of the year and the coup. Obviously, last November, we saw at the United Nations that there was a meeting, the situation on human rights, which you described as politically motivated, ignoring the complexities around the issue. Has your position changed, and was there a degree of military pressure that forced you to create those kind of statements, that kind of rhetoric? Because, of course, there's been plenty of criticism from the West aimed at the likes of Aung San Suu Kyi, at the NLD, for not doing enough to protect the Rohingya in Myanmar.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, this issue in Rakhine State is very delicate, very complex. So that is why, you know, whenever we take action against, or whatever measures we take against this issue in the Rakhine State, we have to be dealing the issue with very careful manner. So in the government of Myanmar, we were dealing with the issue with very careful and a very delicate manner. So you look at it, you know, when the state councillor Aung San Suu Kyi led government and came in, we know that this is the important issue that the government need to address. So right after she came into the office, she found the number of committees, and then she found the advisory commission led by Dr. Kofi Annan. So that's the way the government pay attention to the issue, because we want to find the sustainable solution on this issue. So we agree that there's an atrocity took place in Rakhine State in 2016 and 2017. The report of the ICOE is clearly state that atrocity took place in Rakhine in 2017 and 2016. So based on that report, the government is, you know, eager to take action. Whoever committed this kind of atrocity, this kind of human rights violation. So that is where we are. But at the same time, the government, you know, when we are dealing with this issue, government was walking on the thin line. So one is the perception from the international community. One is the perception from the element inside the country. So because the main purpose is we like to keep the country in a peaceful and stable stable situation. But it's turned out differently in the look at the 1st of February because of the military coup. You know, the special envoy, Ms. Christine Buckner, always, you know, pointed out the government is dealing with the issue very delicately and in the complex manner. So at the time, so the coup might happen at any time. So then it happened. So because that is why in the my statement in the November at the General Assembly, so I rightly pointed out that, you know, we need to look at the issue from the broader perspective. So we always stress, don't look at the issue from the one single dimension. Need to look at the issue from the multiple dimension. That is what, you know, the previous the government and the elect government always stress when dealing with this issue.
And obviously, it's an issue that's front and focus in the minds of so many people looking at the situation in Myanmar over recent years around the world. There are calls at the moment, of course, as you pointed out, for international action when it comes to the takeover of the military. If there were to be a decoupling of the military and the democratically appointed government, would we and the international community, our audiences listening, expect to see a different position when it comes to the Rohingya going forward if we reach that eventuality of back to the stages and the steps towards democracy and that decoupling of the military and the government?
So, you know, this what happened in this 1st of February and, you know, what happened, you know, throughout this this February and until now. So what we see is that it's a be, you know, it's good for lessons and good for all of us. So we realize that how brutal that military is and how the atrocity that they committed, then it's we see on our own eyes. So it's where we, you know, because of this experience we went through, when we look at the issue in the Rakhine State, to me, it's where we, you know, in the future, it's where be easy for the government to handle the issue, because definitely there is already, you know, the sentiment already, you know, the people desire from the people is that the military should not be in this position. Military should go back to the barrack, and military should be a professional one, not like this one. They should not be in the politics. They should not be in economy. They should be a professional one. That is definitely all us are in mind.
And finally, what efforts are underway to try and, obviously, we're in the midst of a global pandemic, humanitarian crises around the world amplified by it. What efforts are underway to try and make sure vaccines are coming to Myanmar, to try and make sure that aid agencies are being able to work in the country in the midst of trying to engage a diplomatic solution to this crisis that began at the start of February?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It's very sad. You know, it's the NLD-led government, they already prepare for, you know, vaccination and to the, you know, to the people. Because, you know, we are not a rich country. We are ALDC. With that kind of, you know, the constraint, with kind of limitation in our resources, the NLD-led government, they did the best within their, you know, capacity to bring the vaccination. You compare to other countries, we can say that Myanmar is sort of, you know, fast country bring the vaccination to the people, especially those in the front lines. So that's sort of, you know, that the NLD-led government was doing. But unfortunately, what happened on 1st of February, look at the people came out on the street. Nobody cared about, you know, the COVID, because now that we are facing is the, you know, the military coup. That military coup should end immediately. This is the desire of the people. Because of that desire, the COVID is become behind the, you know, what we are facing this situation. Of course, we all concerned with the, you know, the pandemic, but now this military coup is much more than pandemic. So we need to pay attention more on the, you know, end of the military coup. Of course, that will be the implication with regard to the COVID, that we need to face it, you know, whether you like it or not. We have to face it. We have to overcome it with regard to COVID.
Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me here. And this opportunity is quite important for me, because I like to, you know, I had the chance to convey the voices of the people of Myanmar through Channel News Asia, because Channel News Asia is one of the popular, one of the, you know, leading news agency in the world, especially in the region. So with that, I'd like to end by saying the military coup must fail. The democracy must prevail. Our fight must win. Thank you.